ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। I saw today's verse, I was feeling very fortunate. This is one of my favorite verses. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 4, entitled The Process of Creation. Text number 18. Kirata Unandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Samba Javana Kashadaya Yanye Chapapa Yad Apashrayasraya Shudyanti Tasmai Baba Vishnave Namaha. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. Abhira Shamba Javanakashadaya. Abhira Shamba Javanakashadaya. Yanye Chapapa Yarapasraya Shraya. Yanye Chapapa Yarapasraya Shraya. Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namam. Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Nama. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. Abhira Shamba Javanakashadaya. Yanecha Papa Yarapashraya Shraya. Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Nama. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha. Abhira Shamba Javanakashadaya. Yanye Chapapa Yarapasraya Saya. Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Namam. Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pulkasha. Abhira Shamba Javanakashadaya. Yanye Chapapa Yarapashraya Shraya. Shudyanti Tasmai Prabha Vishnave Nama. Ladies. Prabha Vishname Namaha. Kirata, a province of old Bharata. Huna, part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, a province of southern India. Pulinda, the Greeks. Pulkasha, another province. Abhira, part of old Sindh. Shamba, another province. Javana, the Turks. Kasha Adaya, the Mongolian province. Ye, even those. Anye, others. Cha, also. Papa, addicted to sinful acts. Yat, whose? Apashraya Ashraya, having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Shudyanti, at once purified. Tasmai, unto him. Prabha Vishnave, unto the powerful Vishnu. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkashas, Abhira, Shamba, Javana members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. It's a long purport, so we'll go straight into it. Purport. Kirata, a province of old Bharatvarsh, mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India, and in modern days, the Santal Paraganas in Bihar and Chota Nagpur might comprise the old province named Kirata. Huna, the area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunnas. Accordingly, sometimes a kind of hill tribe is known as the Hunnas. Or is that Huns? Huns. Andhra, a province in southern India mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata, it is still extant under the same name. Pulinda is mentioned in Mahabharata, namely the inhabitants of the province of the name Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas, and it is mentioned in the Vanaparva of Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. This Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharat, and the inhabitants were classified amongst the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Mlechas. Just as those who are not followers of the Islamic culture are called kafirs, and those who are not followers of the Christian culture are called heathens. Abhira. This name also appears in the Mahabharata, both in the Shabha Parva and Bhishma Parva. It is mentioned that this province was situated on the river Saraswati in Sindh. The modern Sindh province formerly extended to the other side of the Arabian Sea, and all the inhabitants of that province were known as the Abhiras. They were under the domination of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and according to the statements of Markandeya, the Mlechas of this part of the world would also rule over Bharat. Later on, this proved to be true, as in the case of the Pulindas. On behalf of the Pulindas, Alexander the Great conquered India, and on behalf of the Abhiras, Muhammad Ghori conquered India. These Abhiras were also formerly Kshatriyas within the Brahminical culture, but they gave up the connection. The Kshatriyas, who were afraid of Parashuram and had hidden themselves in the Caucasian hilly regions, later on became known as the Abhiras, and the place they inhabited was known as Abhiradesh. Shambhas or Kankas, the inhabitants of the Kanka province of old Bharat mentioned in the Mahabharata. Yavanas. Yavana was the name of one of the sons of Maharaja Yati, who was given a part of the world known as Turkey to rule. Therefore, the Turks are Yavanas due to being descendants of Maharaja Yavana. The Yavanas were therefore Kshatriyas, and later on, by giving up the Brahminical culture, they became Malecha Yavanas. Descriptions of the Yavanas are in the Mahabharata. Another prince called Turvasu was also known as Yavana, and his country was conquered by Sahadev, one of the Pandavas. The western Yavana joined with Duryodhana in the Battle of Kurukshetra under the pressure of Karna. It is also foretold that these Yavanas also would conquer India, and it is proved to be true. Kasha, the inhabitants of the Kasha Desh are mentioned in the Mahabharata. Those who have a stunted growth of hair on the upper lip are generally called Kashas. As such, the Kasha are the Mongolians, the Chinese, and others who are so designated. The above-mentioned historical names are different names of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts, are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for such a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. That was an incredible sentence. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadeva Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word Yat Kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place by which the complete misunderstanding between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. After the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, and as we have several times discussed in these pages. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnava cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnava is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnava, even the Kirata, etc., as above mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord. Even for those who are lowborn, or women, Shudras, or Vaishyas. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who has thorough knowledge in the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of heart. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure devotee. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. The system of caste or Varnashram Dharma is no longer regular even amongst the so-called followers of the system. Nor is it now possible to reestablish the institutional function in the present context of social, political, and economic revolution. Without any reference to the particular custom of a country, one can be accepted in the Vaishnava cult spiritually, and there is no hindrance in the transcendental process. So by the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita can be preached all over the world, reclaiming all persons willing to accept the transcendental cult. Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive without any particular bias for the custom of the country. The Vaishnava never accepts another Vaishnava on the basis of birthright, just as he never thinks of the deity of the Lord in the temple to be an idol, as an idol. And to remove all doubts in this connection, Srila Shukadeva Goswami has invoked the blessings of the Lord, who are all-powerful, Baba Vishnave Nama. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional activities of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple. Similarly, the body of a pure Vaishnava changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. The injunction of the Vaishnava regulation in this connection runs as follows. Arche Vaishnav, Shiladhir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnave Jata Budhi, Shri Vishnur Namni Shabda Samanya Budhi. One should not consider the deity of the Lord as worshipped in the temple to be an idol, nor should one consider the authorized spiritual master an ordinary man, nor should one consider a pure Vaishnava to belong to a particular caste, etc. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. But Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites. That's a great word. Varnashramites. And he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Jnanati Virandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chakshun Manitam Jaina Tasmai Sigurave Nama. Kam Guru Divachalam Pangam Langayate Giram Yarkiptam Vande Sigurum Dinatarana. Paramananda Maharavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. So this verse is complete in itself. With Srila Prabhupada's purport here, there's so much that can be said, we just don't have the time. When you see verses like this, you can understand how advanced the devotee of the Lord is. And when you hear his explanation, his purport, his commentary, you can so much more appreciate how merciful these great personalities were to make themselves available, to come here amongst the Kiratas, Hunandas, Pulinda, and those that which are not even mentionable. There are some which are not even mentionable. They're so outcast. So, Prabhupada points out here that even those who are constantly engaged in sinful activities are corrigible. This is important, that even those who are speaking for myself, those who are attracted and controlled by the material energy, they can be corrected. They can be improved upon. They can be reformed. Even in such a miserable condition. Just like the state, it does its best to try to reform its criminals, right? It goes through all kinds of hoops and all kinds of arrangements to try and some or other rectify or reform this person. So, the pure devotees of the Lord, as Prabhupada points here, Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, they make it their business to try and help those persons who are engaged constantly engaged in these sinful activities. Just as we were discussing yesterday, how is it that the devotees are struggling as well? Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Puryamanam Achalam Pratishtam, a person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires, just as rivers which flow into the ocean, the ocean remains still, ever being filled. Isn't it? The oceans are constantly flowing into the ocean, but the ocean stays calm. So similarly, those who are have taken shelter of the Lord through the process of devotional service have to also be undisturbed. And instead of striving to satisfy those desires which are incessantly attacking us, incessantly coming within the heart, the desires are always there. They're natural. It depends on how you react to it, what is your counter to those desires. Do I go along with it? Or do I take shelter of the process of devotional service, which we understand in our bhakti cult, is the topmost process for achieving that? Because the answer may come, well, who or how can one become reformed? And as Prabhupada points out here, that in the present context of the world situation, the leadership has no idea. They have no idea. There's no substance to what they're proposing. But we understand from the Vaishnav philosophy that the real substance is to understand who is the enjoyer. Prabhupada mentions this many, many times. Who's the enjoyer? Who's the controller? And who's our friend? If those items are not understood, there's no question of purifying the heart, as Prabhupada points out here. By the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be thorough change of heart in the human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are authorities to effect such a change. So it's that change has to be, it comes about by association. We've heard this many, many times. Adosha datata sadhu sangha tabajana kriya anartha nibritti syat. Those unwanted things in the heart, they're exposed, but they're also dealt with. In the material world, it's quite the opposite. People talk about the social unrest. They talk about these social issues, but there's no solution. All they can do is spout out all kinds of theories, and hopefully something hits, or they'll just, after speaking, go off and continue with their ways. I remember going to a church. Just like you on Saturdays, you go to the confessional, you tell the priest what you've done, and then right after that, you go outside and you continue with what you were doing last week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I have done this, 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 that this past week. Now it's Sunday, Monday. Okay, Monday I can start all over because I've been purified. But that is... that's not the answer. That's not the answer. The answer is to take shelter of the Vaishnavas of the Lord, the devotees of the Lord, who can effect some kind of change within a person. And as Prabhupada points out here, this is done by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. Our minds and hearts are forever have been clouded over by material nature, by our activities, karmic activities. But that change can happen in the proper association. It's like if you have a sickness and or an attachment for something, if you take the proper association, you can rid yourself of that attachment, that illness, if you follow the prescription. The method is go like this, do like this. Okay. It's effective. It will happen. But it's just a matter of one willing and interested in doing it, as Prabhupada points out here. One has to be interested. If you're so inclined, then it'll happen. If you're not, then what can be done? But that association has to be there. And irrespective of your position, jnana priyasamuda pasyana manta evam, Prabhupada makes some connection there, that one can remain situated in one's social position, but has to throw away the speculative process. We have to throw away that speculation, which we're all victims of. Well, should I do this? Should I do that? Well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have got up. Maybe I shouldn't have eaten. Or maybe I should listen. Maybe I should run. You know, there's so many thoughts that are constantly afflicting the conditioned soul. And as a result, there's no direction. There's no direction. It's just a wandering of the mind. It goes from here, goes there. But the Vedic, the Vaishnava process is that one has to learn how to engage the body, mind, and words and engage them in a very regulated way. Tarara jastamo bhava kamalobadayaschai. If the heart is not purified by regulated activity, there's no question of making advancement in this human form of life. There's no question of resolving the issues and the sufferings of society. This has to be done. The devotees are, because, and why do we go to the devotees of the Lord? Because they're not interested in, as Prabhupada points out here, is really wonderfully, they're not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. Therefore, one can take shelter of the Vaishnava. Just like the Brahmanas had no interest in taking King Vena's position. Right? There was no interest. But they were interested only in seeing that the people in general were not misguided by political propaganda, and seeing the valuable human form of life being wasted. They saw that the religious principles were being constricted, that the worship of the Lord was not being allowed. Therefore, they had to take some decisive action. But otherwise, the devotees are not interested in these mundane things, which ultimately will lead to doom. These mundane things are ultimately meant to be doomed. That is reality. We may have this organization, this party, this thing, that thing, but ultimately, because the Lord, the service of the Lord is being neglected, it's doomed. It's only a matter of time. Great civilizations have come up in the course of history, and they've lasted for so many years. Just like here Prabhupada was pointing out, the different historical names of the different nations of the world. There were great nations. The Huns, the Romans, the Greeks, they were all very powerful, certainly. But they're all gone. No one cares anymore. It's just a pile of rock. And we become fascinated by it. Unearth some corpse that's been under dirt for 2,500 years, and we become fascinated by it. But it's nothing. It's all meant to be, it's all destined to be doomed, as Prabhupada points out here. Therefore, society should be guided by the good counsel of devotees, which would be a great change for society, because they teach their propaganda is purifying the conditioned souls, as Lord Chaitanya recommended, right? Lord Chaitanya's propaganda was to chant in every town and village, distribute Krishna consciousness in every town and village. That is a simple process for addressing the problems of society. Not these complicated political or diplomatic maneuvering that has to go on and nothing gets solved. People just the next year, the next after the next 4 years, they're just miserable as ever again. Ah, let's go up to this. Let's go to this one this time. And let's go to that one this time. It goes back and forth. Nothing is ultimately addressed. But when that condition is led with proper understanding, then as Prabhupada points out here, other prophets will follow. When society is guided properly, all the benefits, the natural benefits, which are meant to be there for everyone, that means everyone, they will follow. For everyone. What are those natural profits? Well, the nature will supply all of the grains and valuable jewels and gems. Rainfall will be there. These are the natural profits which we're all looking for, but we don't know how to get. Instead, we're on some speculative journey trying to figure out how to do this and do that. But there's nothing. There's nothing. Ultimately, the highest profit, of course, Prabhupada points out here, is to go back home, back to Godhead. And the Vaishnava cult, as we are, has no bar against anyone advancing in the matter of God realization. We don't mind. Anyone, whether you're this or that, it doesn't matter. Just simply engage in the devotional activities which are outlined in the bona fide scriptures. Anyone. It can be even the kiratas or this one or that one, or even those which are unmentionable. Anyone. Isn't it? Mamhi parthavya pashrita yepi supa. Krishna is there for everyone, even the most fallen, the most unmentionable personalities, those who are doing so many things which can't even be mentioned in the pages of the Bhagavatam. But their only qualification has to be that they have to take shelter of the pure devotee. That has to be the qualification. And that has to be there. If that's not there, then it's doomed. And that pure devotee is that person who's thorough in knowledge. Samitpani, Srutri, Brahmani. He's fixed up in transcendental knowledge. There's no confusion. He understands what is to be done and what is not to be done. The system of caste or Varnashram Dharma is no longer regular, even in amongst the so-called followers of the system. So, of course, Varnashram, we understand, is the closest thing or the best thing that can be done to regulate society. But that is not available even, unfortunately, in this day and age. Therefore, we need to have the association of the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, the Sankirtan movement is so critical. It's so critical. You know, we talk about Varnashram, we want to do this, that's okay. We can try to go toward that. But the reality is that in this day and age, the chanting of the holy name is the prescribed method and is the method which will help purify everyone, no matter what your condition is. Sat karmana vipro mantra tantra vishara avaishnava sopacho guru. Even if one is the most fallen, he becomes eligible for the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He becomes eligible and then becomes rightly situated to spread this Krishna consciousness all over the world. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I was listening yesterday, Prabhupada was saying, is a Shaktivesh avatar. The Hare Krishna Mantra is a Shaktivesh avatar. As Lord Chaitanya says, right? Nam namakari bahura niva sarva, nija sarva saktish. All his potencies are there within the chant, within that holy name. It's considered a Saktyavesh avatar. And by that association, these biases, these misunderstandings that we have in a society can be rectified. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, as Prabhupada points out here, advised preaching all over the world Such cultural propaganda by the devotees will certainly be accepted by all persons who are reasonable and inquisitive without any particular bias. We're seeing that practically in this Krishna conscious movement. Srila Prabhupada came foreign, nothing, and by spreading this Krishna consciousness all over the world, everyone's become attracted. So many persons have become attracted. And it's expanded through all the different nations and cultures. It's transcendental. As the all-powerful Lord accepts the humble service of his devotee in devotional service of the Archana, his form as the worshipable deity in the temple. Similarly, the body of a pure Vaishnava changes transcendentally at once when he gives himself up to the service of the Lord and is trained by a qualified Vaishnava. This is such a profound line when I read this. Just as the deity, we understand, is not material, so the Vaishnava and one who is engaged in the Vaishnava process, everything becomes transformed. Just as the deity has transformed and is actually there, Krishna is there, we have to have the vision, of course. So similarly, the association of the Vaishnavas can transform and purify even the most fallen and unqualified persons. The problem is, in conclusion here, that people are so disenchanted that they're willing to accept any kind of conspiracy, any kind of theory, and as a result, the society is totally splintered. It's so unfortunate. But we do have a motto, and that motto is Sarva Dharma Parityajamamekam Saranam Vraja. And we have a platform also for this movement, and that is that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the enjoyer, the proprietor, and friend. We'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Rudradev.
If they're so disenchanted, then why don't they accept our philosophy? It should be easy for them to...
What's that again?
If they're so disenchanted, if the people are so disenchanted, why don't they, more of them, accept our philosophy?
Adosha ratata sadhu sangha. It's our business. It's our business to give association to these people. And the more association that is given, the purification happens. And Maya is always there. You have to understand they're conditioned souls, just as we're conditioned souls. We're striving, and we have good days, bad days. So all the conditioned souls also have good days, bad days, mostly bad. But our business is to give them some association so that they can have good days. And eventually, as Prabhupada explains here, the ultimate profit is to go back home, back to Godhead. Excuse me?
It's explained in Bhagavad.
Keep it on the outside. Outside. Outside of the face mask.
Okay. It's explained in Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. So many religious groups, many religion, people from many other religions, they can understand pretty simple, then God can be supreme friend and supreme proprietor.
Yeah.
But supreme enjoyer is a little bit difficult. We understand that in terms, then no illicit sex, but they are doing that. So how you can explain to them position of God is supreme enjoyer and his pleasure?
The Supreme Lord can enjoy much better than we can. He has the capability of enjoying much way beyond what we can enjoy. His enjoyment is when you are happy also. So that's even a higher pleasure. Just like a mother and a parent, a child and a parent. When that child does simple things, the parent becomes very satisfied. Oh my gosh, look what my small child can do. It's a great, even though the child may be just enjoying itself with a couple little blocks or something, or goofing around with some mud. Because the child is in a secure position, the parent looking upon that child and guarding over it, actually the parent's pleasure is even higher. It's even higher because it's aware of what the of all the conditions and the circumstances that are involved, not the innocent little enjoyment that that child may be having. Not aware of all the dangers that may be there. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He can enjoy anywhere and everywhere, We may get a tiny little bit of pleasure that lasts for a short little bit of time, which is dependent on so many other things. Krishna is dependent on some object or experience. He's full within himself, and that's shown by his example. Srila Prabhupada ki